Rise and Climb with Anna, as I share stories of hope and healing through hardship to help you overcome the obstacles you face today. Whether you are a teen, single adult, parenting, or just simply learn best through stories, this podcast will keep you inspired to answer to the call to rise and climb to any occasion life throws at you. Enjoy.
Okay, we're going to start today off a little different and kind of like a little fun get to know. So an icebreaker. So I just thought of this. And what? So you have to answer, and then we will answer for each other. What do you think my favorite food is?
The only thing that comes to mind is lettuce. But I'm sure I'm missing something. It's hard because what is difficult to answer that question is, what is your favorite food, or what do you eat the most of?
Hmm.
That's hard for me because I think you eat the most lettuce, but your favorite food is sushi.
Hmm.
That's what I would say, because that's where you always want to go. And I don't like sushi, so.
Okay. Wrong. I say my favorite food is pizza.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, but I love sushi. But I feel like I could eat pizza like every other day.
I know. But so. I thought you were healthy, so I didn't. I didn't want to spill the beans.
Okay, but for real, I do eat the most lettuce. I eat lettuce almost with everything.
Yes.
I don't believe in buns. It's like Santa Claus, not real. Okay, now you ask me a question.
Oh, we're not doing the same question.
You can do the same question or a different one. Or surprise me. What?
What? What was your favorite hairstyle as a child?
Did I have to answer for you?
No, I got this all backwards.
You're making fun of my boy haircut.
Well, no, because you're wearing glasses that semi-resemble.
Why have my blue glasses? Light blockers on?
So when I looked at you, that was the first thing that came to mind. But I didn't know I was supposed to ask about
you. Yeah, I have to answer a question that I might not know about you.
What do you think my favorite thing to do is?
Think. watch ants and think.
Wrong.
Okay. I mean, read. Okay, it depends. Here's the truth. If you ask me to describe what you would do on a day that you would really enjoy, I could walk you through a whole day, and it would be at least three different things, but not more than three things. Mm-hmm. So it would be no more than three things, but at least three things.
That's fair.
And you would first enjoy...
I'm a well-balanced diet.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you would enjoy a relaxing... So part of a relaxing and coffee, that would be a part of it. But you'd want to get something done so you feel a little accomplished, you know, whatever that
may be. What order would they go in? Because that's important to me.
Well, you like to get things done right away, first thing.
Wrong.
Okay, no. Okay. You like to drink coffee and relax in the morning, but you like to do something sooner rather than later. You don't want to dilly-dally.
Correct.
And then...
But what that something is...
God, we don't have time for this.
Okay, we need to move on soon. It's been five minutes.
Okay, so to go back to your original question, what would you say your favorite thing to do is?
I think you're on to the right. The right path.
So the obnoxious wrong was not totally indicative.
Well, I think... If you don't have the whole story, you're wrong.
Okay, so I'm on the right path. What would you say?
Well, because as you know, as a semi-introvert, that... I say semi because I can have different moods.
But, oh, no. Hence why it was hard to answer this question.
So I think you're right. In the mornings, I do like to just have a little bit of time to chill. But then in order to be fueled for the day's activities, I like to read. And then that gives me the energy to really hit it hard for the day, to do something like fun or whatever I want to be. Okay. So, yeah.
So I was basically right, though.
Yes.
Because you didn't say one thing was your favorite thing to do.
Yeah, my favorite thing.
What is your favorite one favorite thing, then?
It depends what it is. Okay. Sure. Depends if it's an activity, okay. like a physical activity or a mental activity.
Well, obviously.
And I think I like to balance both of them. So maybe
the better,
I will say that I might have set you up with the question.
And maybe I set you up with my question too.
No, you've told me it's pizza. I just totally forgot.
I love pizza. Okay. Anyways, let's dive in. We are going to go into our dating story.
Yes. Woo-hoo.
So we left off with runaway bride Anna and prison Mike in your story. And yep. We kind of alluded to our dating story, but we're going to, first off, you go listen to those podcasts if you want to get caught up. I kind of got a burp.
Well, maybe we can knock that out.
My burping. I called off my wedding, and we had spent basically a year. Like, I knew I kind of liked you, but
did we discuss the? We had to discuss the flower grinding. I don't know. We've been talking a lot about this flower grinding.
Because we ground our own flour, and you made your own bread.
I made
recently.
My own bread. Yes, I planted my own wheat.
Yes.
And, well, my dad technically harvested it for me, yeah. But I bought the machinery to do it. So.
And that freaking expensive belt.
Hey, it works.
Our $1,800 flour wheat thing. Okay. Not sour about that.
You got to invest in long-term solutions.
Okay. So we are going back to our roots because, okay, so when we first, like, were getting out of our situations, like within weeks, like you resigned, mm-hmm. We hung out a lot and we stayed up late grinding one morning.
Was that weekend? Was that summer?
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm all backwards.
I know. And then it was like 9 months later that we actually.
I thought, yes, you are right. But I thought, oh, never mind. You're correct. I have my order of events out of whack.
So we hung
out a lot because I was up north at your cottage lot. I think we discussed that in the
previous
episode.
And I told my mom that I liked you, and she was like, oh, Lord have mercy. She's like, she was not Team Michael. And she's really still sad about the ex. But, because he's very normal, and you were not. But, I remember just praying, okay, God, I really like him, but, I mean, you literally got arrested. And it was okay, kill it or cultivate it. And that really let me at peace. So that was, and then you got arrested in July. Mm-hmm. And, so then, fast forward to May, because we were at Caleb's party.
No, fast forward to my brother's wedding in November.
Oh, October.
October. Sorry. Sorry, Joe. Okay, it was so, October.
A few months later.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't think this was prominent, but you should tell. You
no, it was just funny because this. Me. Anna was there, and I really did start to like you after that summer.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed you. And we've always enjoyed each other.
Because I really could beat you at speed walking.
Okay, I totally beat you at speed walking. And I remember that you were mad because I didn't use the correct technique, and that's why I won. And I said, I don't have to swing my hips like that if I can move my legs fast enough.
Because they say you're supposed to be able to do it faster if you really do like a whole body, like Nordic walking.
Well, guess who lost? I may have looked like a funky stick, but I was fast.
You looked so stupid. That was the summer you were gazelling too. Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyways.
Must have gazelled into your heart.
I know. It's so stupid. Okay. So we were the wedding, I remember.
So the wedding.
Because our families were friends. You got to remember, my sister married his brother. So Tennysons were always invited to Brayton weddings. So I was invited to the Brayton wedding. And I actually, while you were in the wedding party going off and taking pictures, I was back at Molly's apartment.
Making a video.
Untangled. I was the gecko in the Tangled film.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
Not one of her finer moments of acting, but.
Yeah, right. You're all into making videos too, so.
Remember what I told you about how I bring artistic perfection into my videos?
Okay, if I find it, I will post it. But the problem is it's only on Facebook. And so only when it pops up in my memories can I see it.
And the quality's not that good.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so unfortunately.
Anyways, there may be a future acting experience you may see with both of us.
Hallmark spoof coming.
Yes,
coming. 2023, hopefully.
By the time we get it edited, maybe.
Okay, so this wedding.
Yeah. Oh, so the only reason I want to bring it up, I guess we don't have a lot much time, do we? The reason I want to bring it up is because I did like you then, and I remember you playing tic-tac-toe with the kids in the lobby for the place.
Okay.
And I liked you, but then this other girl, Anna, who, her name was Anna as well.
Yeah.
And like a year before that, maybe, I don't remember, she and I kind of didn't really date, but we got to know each other. And then that fizzled out. Which we just, she's very nice, but just, we didn't have any connection.
She's no Anna. Oh, wait, she is.
Yes. But anyways, she liked me, and I was actually walking up to dance with you. It's like the first time I was ever going to approach a girl and ask her to dance.
It was a slow dance, I think.
It was a slow dance, and then
Who was I dancing with?
Nobody. You just got done having like your girl party dance with the girls. She loves to hit it hard at weddings. And... anyways, I was going to come up to you and ask you to dance, and this Anna girl came up, this other Anna, and was like, dance with me. And so I was like, okay. So I danced with her, and then...
literally like a high school...
And then I think the next time I saw you was...
May.
Cupid Zero time.
Yeah. So then we're at... So our nephew, we both have the same nephew.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and his brother and a kid, Khalib... Caleb, and it was his birthday, so we went to it, and then afterwards, all the kids are playing, and we're running around
with the nieces and nephews.
With the nieces and nephews, and you,
they had one of these bows.
Yeah,
I don't know how to describe it, but it shoots air like soft arrows at each at. I had the bow, and I was shooting these arrows at the kids. Well, Anna was running around like a little kid, and I was shooting her as well.
So we say that's when you shot me with Cupid's arrow.
Correct. Yes.
So, but that was May, but still nothing. Yes. And this whole time, our family is watching us, like painfully just wishing we would admit that we liked each other. But at this, even up till that point, we probably would have said, neither one of us wanted to, you know, let each other or people know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Maggie saying, "You like Michael?" And I think I said yes, but I didn't want to look stupid, you know. You also had a very sketchy pass, so.
I don't know what you're talking about. Model pass.
So, okay, so that's literally May.
Yeah.
Because May 7th, I think.
May 7th is
his birthday.
Yep.
So then, fast forward to the end of the month. And I'm up north for Memorial Weekend at the cottage. And I'm literally fishing at another lake with Matthew and Alicia, maybe Molly. And Maggie sends me a text saying, Michael's here at the cottage. And me getting like nervous, excited, and butterflies. And then thinking, well, they don't know that I know that Michael's back. So I'm just going to, I can totally play this one off. So I just said, I think I'm done fishing. I'm ready to go back, you know. And then I literally think Alicia was like, when we got there, she said, oh, now I know why you wanted to come back. I just, I might have even lied. I didn't know he was here, you know, whatever. But then that weekend they just seen me for lying. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I might have, I probably tried to play it off.
Alicia, please follow up.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you remember what you...
remember liking you. Did we hang out that weekend? And then the following weekend, I called you?
Yeah, the following weekend is when you guys...
Like, yeah. To meet up or something? Okay.
So, yeah, we hung out probably almost the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Again. And then Maggie literally just forwarded my number.
Yes.
And said, here.
Yeah, here's Anna's number.
Here's Anna's number. And Maggie's really been instrumental in our whole dating.
Yeah. She's been great.
Yeah. So then I think I remember getting a text from you saying, hey, Anna, this is Mike. I'm down in Appleton. Where do you work again? Because I was waitressing at the time. And so you and Joe and Megan came to eat at Beef Eaters.
Yeah, when you were waitressing.
Yeah, I remember.
Beef Eaters, I remember that.
There will be a callback on Beef Eaters. Got to beat some beef with them. No. So then, so then that night, you guys were going out to Hortonville bowling.
Yeah, my brother lives out there, so.
Yeah, and you invited me, and I literally spent the whole night till I arrived there hemming and hawing, thinking, I don't want to look too desperate. Like, I really like him. I don't want to look, because I don't like him. I don't want to look like I like him. And then I thought, this is bogus. I can play it off because the Tennysons and the Braytons are friends. I'm just going to hang out with family friends. So that's literally why I decided to come. And then what happened at bowling?
We are both horrible bowlers. That's what happened.
No, you just don't like to admit you lost.
Okay. You had 50 points, I think, going into the 10th frame. And I had 70, and I was like, I got this. And so the next night, I convinced my brother and all of his friends to go rollerblading at the skate or skate park at like a skate, I don't know, what is it, Skate City or something like that?
Yeah, gem roller ring, I don't know, something.
Yeah. So I convinced them all to go roller skating or rollerblading.
So you already made plans to go roller skating.
Yes, and so the next, so I said, Anna, do you want to come? Or I don't know, we must have been talking about it. And I said, and you wanted to make a bet that over who would win.
Yeah, we bet something.
Yeah, we bet whether if I won, we got to wear rollerblades.
Oh, yeah.
If you won, we had to wear roller skates. And I've never roller skated before. And I'm like, I got this in the bag. Because she's bowled horribly the entire game. In the 10th frame, I think I must have been just a couple pins I knocked down and then a gutter ball or something. And you had somehow managed to get
like a turkey.
Two strikes or three strikes and I ended up losing. So the next day we had to go to this.
And I had to go with him.
Whatever it was. And Anna came
and
with Molly.
And I drank Molly. She's my wing girl. Poor Molly. And Megan and Joel.
Watching this ordeal.
Gosh. Two high school teams. So we walked in.
And I was trying to be cool. And they said, do you want the speed skates or regular skates? And I said, speed skates, because I like to go fast.
Okay, Betty.
I know my son has caught on to a lot of my attitude. And needless to say, that was a bad mistake.
You were horrible.
I've never used roller skates before. I thought it was identical to rollerblading. It's definitely not. You have to move your legs in a different way. And we decided to race because we played all the games, you know, and stuff.
We're the only two on the rink. Remember,
only two adults.
We don't like each other.
And we decided that we were going to go in the race at the end of the night.
You've got to remember, I am an excellent skater. You got to know, I'm an excellent skater. And I always win races. As good as Michael is at awkward speed walking, I am really good at rollerblading.
No, we didn't have a legit race because I would have wanted to race you with rollerblades.
Okay, but you lost. So anyways.
Well, you were just telling us how great you were at skating.
I'm just,
and didn't reference the fact that we weren't actually rollerblading.
Okay, we should have a rematch in your blades. I'll wear whatever.
I want blades.
So anyways, we then after that, we go back to I mean, you make a fool out of yourself. You're flapping all over.
I wiped out so bad. I was going really fast in a straight line. And them speed blades are slippery. Them are some slippery blades. Because as soon as I tried to turn, feet went out from under me and I slammed into the wall.
I mean, it was... This is like the guy I like, right? This is super embarrassing. And
everyone is laughing at me. Good thing I'm not that self-conscious.
And all while is you and me and then Molly... Joe and Megan are just sitting on the sidelines watching this.
Needless to say, they're not as into skating as you and I are.
I still love skating. Okay, so after that, we drive back. I think you invite us back. We watch a movie.
Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah.
And you fell asleep with your feet on me.
Oh, yeah, that was probably the first time we,
you touched me.
Mm-hmm. When you're starting to date, those are big deals.
It feels like a big deal because it's like, it must mean that she likes me. She's got her foot on me. I don't know. What does that mean?
Yeah. And then, you wait to see if they reciprocate it back. And Molly's just like, can we go?
This is the slowest, most painful process I've ever seen.
At any rate, I got payback because for when her and Brian were dating, I was the third wheel. So anyways, from then on, we basically talked every day. Yep. I seriously don't think we went a day without talking. Maybe when I was in Haiti on the mission trip. But so that really kicked off. And then we definitely, then it was like, we like each other. It's no secret. You'd come down and visit. But then I was standing up in Katie's wedding, my sister's wedding. Mm-hmm.
And that was, she got married, what, middle of July, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, I think July 19th or something like that. Or maybe that's my parents' anniversary.
So the tradition is that we always spend 4th of July at Anna's parents' cottage.
Yeah. Well, Katie said, just so you know, only spouses and boys, like boyfriend and girlfriend, can come on the party bus. So if you want to come on the party bus, you have to be official.
Okay. So
our families really helped us get together. Yes.
That was good because I always felt as an adult, it seemed very weird to say, will you be my girlfriend? It's odd.
Yeah.
But I think it is important to still make it official,
DTR, determine the relationship. Yeah.
That sounds like a Christian thing.
It is. It's for sure a thing. Because then you know where you stand, and it's not awkward. So when people ask, you can say, this is my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And it shows that...
The first level of commitment, right?
Yes, I think it's a good thing. So I didn't know it was coming, but we all went and hung out and went to fireworks. Mm-hmm. And then we were sitting on the couch up north. My mom's sleeping in the chair. And
Ellen's been there through it all.
Yeah.
First, she didn't like me.
Yeah. No, she tears up, thankful for you guys, like all the son-in-laws. So anyways, I think she's sleeping and we're sitting on the couch.
It was late.
Yeah. And you said,
Anna, will you officially be my girlfriend?
And I said,
does this mean we need to stop seeing other people? And I go, yes. Yes.
And then I go, sure, why not? Just kidding. I said, yes, I will be. And and I think maybe we looked at the stars that night or whatever.
And I think that was that the first time we kissed, maybe?
Okay, for real? I have no idea.
It wasn't the first time, I guess. Was 16.
Yeah, at 16. I don't know when the real first time we kissed.
But I think that was the first time we kissed.
But then at some point, I remember...
The next day, we went down to the cottage, and we're holding hands, and Caleb came up to us.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, looks at me and looks at Anna holding hands. Because he's only known us at that point as...
Aunt and uncle.
And he's like, you guys are holding hands? I don't remember exactly what he said, but...
You holding hands?
Yeah, he like had like this big breathe in.
Yeah.
In
sheepish smile. Yeah, you're right.
It was really cute.
And I mean, he was the only one oblivious to what was happening, but we'll give him credit. He's 9 or whatever at the time. So, I mean, we could probably figure it out. But anyways, then, okay, let's fast forward then, because at some point we're dating. I remember I'm in Courtney's kitchen, and I don't remember the first kiss, but I do remember who said I love you first.
She did.
Because we were hanging up. And I mean, okay, for real. I really did know. I mean, I loved you right away. But then the hang up was like, all right, goodbye, I love you. And then it got said. Well, first of all, I naturally felt it. But it also felt like one of those moments where you call your teacher mom.
I've never had one of them moments. I don't know. Okay, either way, it's not very flattering to me.
What I meant to say is, I really did love you, but I didn't mean to. That way. And then there was awkward silence.
And I said, I love you too. Because I really did.
Yeah.
I think at that point, I think actually when I first decided to date you, we can go back just briefly to this, but when I first decided to ask to date you, I knew that if I asked, because we were so close as a family, just in general, I had to ask knowing that it was going to be serious. Like, from the start. It wasn't like somebody, we'll be your girlfriend. You know, it was very much
commitment
from the start on my end of, if I'm going to ask Anna to be my girlfriend, I need to be committed to her in this relationship.
Yeah, because there's history there, and you'd see me at events. At my wedding, maybe, if you invited to her, would it be? And, I mean, I don't know that I dated you knowing I would marry you, but I knew I really liked you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's... I do remember at Katie's wedding, though, me having a little extra to drink and just swooning over to Courtney. Oh, I love him so much. Oh, you know, she's like, oh, bleh. So anyways, so the feelings were strong right away. So literally we kind of started hanging out in May, official in July. Then that winter, I remember when we first started dating, you were working nights at the hospital, construction.
Yep.
And so you would get down in the morning, we'd talk, and then you'd sleep, and you'd come home. You'd come visit on the weekends and you'd be really off and weird in your schedule. But we talked a lot, hung out a lot, but then that winter you got laid off. So you came down to the Appleton area.
And worked with your dad.
And worked with my dad.
A couple times.
Yep. And then you stayed in the apartment. And my poor roommate, that did get a little old to her. Which I can understand.
Always sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, you're out, waking up and there's a stranger on your couch.
Probably Caitlin was very kind.
Yeah, she was. She said something in a mature, professional way.
And I had no problem. I understood.
Well, we were just in love. We were as oblivious. It was like, what's wrong? Isn't he amazing?
I tried to be really clean. Yeah, and not but intrusive. But either way, it's still your space.
Yeah. So you were working for my dad. So you'd go work for my dad. But we spent a lot of time together because of that. And then, but all this time, you're like meeting with your lawyer and you've really changed. So things were really looking up. So you had your sentencing finally in April. So it was literally like 2 years basically from when everything started to come out. So it was a long sentence.
A long time waiting.
Yep. So everything's kind of getting a little serious, but so what I remember actually about this time is not realizing how, just being oblivious to some of your mannerisms.
She's referencing my prayer tics at the time.
Oh no, I wasn't oblivious to that. Oblivious to your anxiety. Because finally once you got sentence, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but you just, you felt like, you finally felt relief because, and you said, I just didn't realize how, like, anxious I was about the unknownness.
Yeah. And I think in general, I can push that off and make and function normally.
Yeah, you cover it up well.
People wouldn't know that I would have any.
I mean, afterwards it makes sense, but yeah. You did not act anxious. You just acted.
No, I just remember the night before sentencing getting very sick almost, and like runny nose and feeling really ill almost. Yeah. And I'm sure that was stress-induced.
Yeah.
Then I just remember that part of it.
Okay. So,
but, and then I could tell I was stressed because it was building up.
During that first year of dating, okay, he had this super awkward and annoying prayer tick. So here, okay, I know I love this man. Like, I am head over heels with him. And I remember saying, finally, I just never thought the issue with my future lover, whatever, spouse, would be that he prays too much. You tell people what you were doing.
Well, at that time, I was obviously struggling to overcome my addictions.
Yes.
And all of my past behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so all of that was ingrained into me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 10 years of unhealthy sexual habits were ingrained into me. And so the way I would look at women and woman eyes in general. So most of my prayers were trying to get my mind off of womanizing.
Yeah.
And so
a bad thought would come into your head.
A bad thought would come into my head. And the only way I knew to get rid of it was to pray about it. And I would pray like right now.
In the moment. So, pray without ceasing.
So I looked very crazy during that moment, or during that time period.
Because he would,
for about a year,
close his eyes, you'd pray, and then you'd go, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And then he would put his hand,
that was a cover. Yeah, you try to disguise how weird you look by doing something that makes you look even weirder. So, yes.
So it looked like he was like putting his hair back, so he'd run his hair over his face and head, and he'd be like, Jesus Christ.
Like this, just like this.
Well, they can't see it. So anyways, he thought he was distracting you, but it was making it more distracting. And here's the problem. You didn't know he was praying to overcome his sins, because it's not like he would tell us. You just thought you did something inappropriate and he was praying for you. I remember Alicia specifically.
Like to be semi-aloof, you know. Keep people guessing.
So finally, I remember driving up north one time, I think to camping with your relatives. And just because I was praying about it a lot. And finally, I knew what was wrong with it, because it just felt wrong. And it was like, and I finally said, here's the deal. What the Bible says, if you want to pray, go into your prayer closet. Don't be out here praying in public. You're not even doing it right.
I don't remember you ever saying that.
You don't? Oh,
not like that.
Okay, what did I say?
What are you doing?
So I was trying to be open and... And then what did you say?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, now, all I remember now your memory fails
is
you.
That you had a very nuanced way of telling me that it was crazy.
Which you knew, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I remember you saying and admitting and saying, I know, and basically I'm working on it. And all we almost had to do was have a conversation. Then I think I was able to have some compassion for you, but you, because you didn't defend it. That would have been awkward. So there was nothing to fight about. And then I can remember dating, and every once in a while, I remember one time driving up north and thinking, oh, I don't know, this whole relationship is weirding me out. I don't know if I can do this. And calling Maggie and her talking me off the ledge, saying, it's fine, go there, it'll be fine. And then sure enough, I would get there and we would have a fine time. So that's what I kind of remember. And then leading up to April 14th, really thinking, this man doesn't need prison to change. He's already changed. He's been out 2 years. They're not going to waste their time putting a guy like this in a prison. He doesn't need prison. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, at that time, I was probably thinking the same thing at the time.
Yeah, I think we're all super hopeful. We're praying, you know, God's on our side, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So we had a bunch of people in court, and I testified on your behalf, and then we got the sentencing that I heard a 10, well, because you did, you got a 10-year sentence, and I just sank, and literally immediately was like, what do I do? This is the man I love. How do I put my life on hold for 10 years for this man? Like, my ovaries are drying up, you know, just everything in a split second. But the I don't know when I found out that the sentencing was actually 3 years prison.
7 years extended.
7 years extended. But literally from there, you just literally got whisked away. We didn't even get to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you want to add from your viewpoint? I just...
No. Actually, I had a lot of emotion in the build up to sentencing. But when I was actually sentenced, I was perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. I just remember...
And so being, it was very strange. I just accepted what it was.
I just left and got into Molly's car, and she just drove, and I just numbed up all the whole way home. And then you tried calling, and I didn't have money in the car, and it was horrible. And it just... That day, I remember just being downstairs in the bedroom of my parents, and that being really hard, until we finally navigated the phone system and adding $100 on my phone card... Having somebody in so prison expensive. Is so expensive. I don't know what it's like now, but that was horrible. So that was a really hard time. And then but right away, I can remember those first few days really praying, because I knew doing 3 years, I mean, 3 years, I'll admit, looking back now is a bit traumatic. It's only 3 years, but it felt like eternity.
But looking ahead, if you tell people 3 years, it does seem like a long time.
Yeah. It's 3 years.
It is what it is.
So, you know, I think how it felt was 1 year I could do, 2 years no problem, but three really felt I needed God, which is a great place to be. So anyways, I just remember praying and saying, this is going to be really hard. God, I not only dating, but then I'm married to a registered offender. And at this time, my whole world was centered around working with teens. Mm-hmm. And, okay, God, like only God would lead me to love someone who offended, you know, and in this area. And just really thinking, okay, only God can turn a story like this around, but I need to hear from you. Is my life with Michael? Is it with teens? You know what? And I remember praying, and literally that night I had a dream, because God's used dreams very profoundly in my life. This was one of them. And I remember praying, and I got married to somebody else. Actually, one of my past, like, guys, a great guy I was getting to know, just wasn't meant for us. And I got married to him, and it was fine. And then all of a sudden, literally, we're, you know, walking down the aisle or whatever, and we're just standing there, and all of a sudden, Michael's picture popped in, kind of like that picture-in-picture news anchor, and I literally crippled over with a broken heart, thinking, oh my gosh, my heart, everything, all my emotions is with Michael. How do I pretend to have it there with this other man? Like, how do I have sex with another man when I want to be with Michael? Literally, it was all of that, those thoughts in an instant. And I remember waking up and it being just being so profound that I did not feel that was God telling me, you have to marry Michael. I remember that what was impressed upon me was, it is a choice, but my heart is with Michael. I won't find somebody else like Michael. Like, I leave Michael to find what? It's a choice. Kind of, do I want a safe, clean Christian life where nobody would judge my marital choice, or do I want Michael? And obviously, I think because of my background with the perfect guy on paper already, I turned away from that. If anything, I think it was like, I'd be single before I'd marry, you know, somebody else. And God must have known I needed that, because that got us through a lot of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to add anything at that first time of going in?
No, obviously.
Were you worried I'd leave you?
I think at that point, I had really grown a lot. And I had a lot of immaturity still in relationships that prison really helped us deal with, but, or helped me, but both of us, I think both of us had some insecurities, but in general, I really gave the relationship to the Lord and was like, God, if you want us to be together, we'll be together. And no matter what, I have you and that's enough. Mm-hmm. And I was at that point in my life, that's where it was at. Mm-hmm. And I did love you and I did pray for our relationship. Mm-hmm. But I think it was important because I got to the point where I was okay without you.
Yeah.
And I think, a good thing. Yes, guys in general need to be okay without...
It's a big step for you.
It was a big step for me because I had such a...
Idolization
with and really wounded from past relationships of my own.
Yeah, because you were cheated on.
Yes, and so I had a lot of insecurities around relationships in general.
You're cheated on now. This your foxy girlfriend is on the prowl.
On the prowl. And the slammer.
is a free bird without you. So it's very easy to be... could have been easy to be tempted.
Yes.
Meet somebody at the roller rink.
Yeah. But yeah, in that time, I would definitely say I gave the relationship to the Lord. And that really was a big step for me. And moving forward through all of our ups and downs and all of the visits where you just cried the whole time.
There was a lot of feelings.
There was multiple visits where we did not talk for the whatever the time was. Anna cried.
For real? What was I thinking? I don't even remember. But I do just remember sitting there and crying. It's hard. I was grieving because you were such a part of my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point, you're basically living with us. Mm-hmm. And...
Yeah, I was like another roommate.
You were a roommate.
Sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, so you'd wake up, you were there. And just going home and, you know, your cereal, your stupid cereal that you ate. Because I didn't eat cereal. What cereal. No, was. I remember just having a cupboard of snacks that were for you type of stuff. And just going home and opening that, because it was like a death. It felt like a death. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I was very angry at God because I thought, God, I finally found somebody that I love. Mm-hmm. And you take him away. And you didn't need prison to change. But that was the very first, that was probably the first year that it felt like a death. So... Okay, one thing. We have to rewind. I did say we'd do a callback on beef eaters. This is how much I love you. I was willing to be fired from a job for you.
You did not think you would be fired.
That's true. But I was, this was probably.
It was the summer we started dating.
It was right, it was 4th of July, so it was the date. And honestly.
It was the day I asked you to date.
You wouldn't have asked me if, fate. Was at hand. So I was supposed to work in Appleton and I had a plan where I'd be up north. I'd just drive back from my work shift and drive, you know, to and from. And then I realized it's going to be dead. It's the 4th of July in Appleton. Nobody's there. They don't need me. I'm not going to drive back and I'm not going to lie about it. So I called in and I said, I'm not sick. My car's not stalled, but I just am not going to come into work tonight. And they said, okay, you'll get written up for that. I said, I understand. I just want you to know. So then I went back. It was a Sunday for my Sunday shift. I left early. And they said, you're fired. And they said, good, because I was going to quit.
You were
going to quit.
You were going to quit.
I needed it all for my sister's wedding.
So you're like, I'm going to quit.
Yeah. So all this to say... I was committed. I was in it. So I was very sad. So the first, we'll break this up into two parts. So the first part will be leading up and then how we got through prison dating and afterwards. So do you have anything else you want to wrap up with this first part?
No, I just, a good cliffhanger.
Yes.
Would be when I finally got into a less secure pod in jail. So the way prison works is you go to jail and then they transfer you to prison. Mm-hmm. And in Wisconsin, there's one particular prison that you go to. And then from
it's
there...
It's maximum.
Maximum. And you sit there while they qualify you into risk assessment or danger level.
And you're in there for 23 hours a day.
And you're locked in your cell for 23 hours a day.
Yep.
And when I finally got into a larger space, because they first had me in a very private location... Yep. Because of my background as a police officer, they didn't want me to obviously have any security or safety risks being around other inmates. But then they eventually moved me into general population. And then I remember calling you and you crying and then telling me that I think I love you more than God. And I'm like, honey, that's a bad place to be. But I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, but that was where you were at, just struggling with the emotions of.
Yeah, I was really struggling with a lot of a lot of resentment I got at that time in my life, between the wedding, calling off that, the relationship, work stuff, it's like I had a college degree, but I had no idea what I wanted to do with my it was kind of, you know how your fall was getting. Well, resigning, but basically forced out of your role, losing all your money, living with your parents, you know, your face is plastered over the news. This was part of my low point. And I hadn't dealt with stuff from my deployment yet or anything. So I had a lot going on. And so I really struggled with God at that point in my life. That's what you remember. And then finally, I remember it being so tough because our calls were limited. Finally, I got all of your letters one day. I just remember getting a big bundle and it just being like Christmas and just really helping. So there's just a lot in like those first few months, just a lot of unknown. How's this going to work? And then things did settle into a routine. And, okay, one more thing. So, because this will be important for the second part. So, I was struggling. So, I reached out. Somehow, Al Rockman crossed my path. And I think I posted something on Facebook and he responded. And I thought, I should get together with him. So, I go and get together with him and just basically just admitted, yeah, it's really tough right now. And he said, where's your boyfriend? I said, oh, funny story. He's actually in prison. This was like the theme of my life at that point in my life. But he's a great guy. He loves me. When he gets out, we're going to get married. He's a changed man. And so, and honestly, here's the worst part about it. It wasn't even just strangers would think it's weird. Even people who knew you would think it's weird because you're still that weird prayer guy. So it was just,
this guy's got some major issues.
Yeah, like why is
Not only is he the weird prayer guy, but now he's in prison?
Yeah.
I dumped this
guy. Is Anna putting her life on hold for that? So anyways, Al, you know, your offense and everything, that was really near and dear to his heart. He has somebody he loved kind of go through a similar situation. And so he said he wanted to be your pastor guy and go visit you. So he started setting up visits, which becomes very important for why and how we ended up getting married. But that is the cliffhanger.
Next time.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Oh, by the way, I was going to say rise and climb. And I told somebody that you, I go, yeah, Michael doesn't like how I say rise and climb. He thinks it sounds too
salesy.
Or... And somebody goes, oh, yeah, it totally does, but I like it.
Oh, gosh.
So.
Don't encourage your people.
Come back next time. How would you say it?
Rise and climb.
Oh, gosh.
Well, it's the way you say it.
It's because I think, like, rise and I want to say rise and shine, los bichachos.
Okay. That's not where I thought you were going with that.
That's what I want to say. I'd be like, rise and shine. Okay. So, but I don't want to say that. So I say rise and
join
climb.
Us next time on Rise and Climb. That's all you have to say.
I like that. Join us next time on Rise and Climb.
Rise and Climb. Because you do like this thing with your hands. I can picture when you're doing it.
Anyways, join us next time on Rise and Climb.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give Rise and Climb a 5-star review or share it with someone you think who would equally enjoy it. If you also feel so led, you can support this podcast with either a one-time donation or monthly subscription to help pay for sound and editing equipment that helps produce more kingdom-driven and relevant-to-the-times content. God bless.